12. We talked about the spirit, the soul, and the body. And how our body really isn't the greatest reality of who we are. In fact, you know, we think about our body, we look in the mirror, and we think that that's all we are. And really, there's a day that's coming, and it might be when we're 70, it might be when we're 100, it might be when we're 50, you know, whatever it is. But that body is going to fall away, and all the rest of eternity is going to be lived out before God. And so, really, in a sense, it's like this body is just the gestational time for our eternity, if you think about it. Well, I don't remember anything about my gestation. And if eternity is as long as eternity is, we're probably going to know a little bit about it when we get there. And as thousands and 10,000s and 10,000 times 10,000s, we're going to start thinking back and saying, yeah, do you remember, like, way, 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 way back when we all used to, like, go to that big stadium and we'd put cheese wedges on our head? You know, we think things are important now. We get all this attention and all this money and all of this stuff. And in eternity, we're going to look back and we're going to just say, you know, how strangely weird we were back then. Well, the idea is that we're not our flesh. We are a spirit. Our spirit goes on to be with the Lord. But before we accept him, before we receive him, it's as though darkness is all that there is. Because of the sin of Adam, and because that sin kind of extended to all of Adam's race, we are broken in our relationship with him. And when the light of the gospel, when the Holy Spirit shines and we all of a sudden decide, you know what, I'm going to cooperate with that light, light comes into our spirit. Now it's not like we were automatically like changed in an instant. Scripture says when we go on to be with him, there's a moment where, bam, we're changed in an instant. But let me tell you, I got 30 years behind me, and I got a lot of growing to do. I do. I'm thankful for the growth that I've had. I'm thankful that I've been following after him. I'm thankful for all that he's done. But I've got a miles and miles and miles of growth. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, you read through the New Testament and he's doing all these different things. He's suffering all these different things. He's establishing all these churches. He's doing all these different things. And he says in the book of Philippians, which is considered to be 30 years after his conversion, he's like, listen, I consider it all just the notion of knowing him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him like that. 30 years, and he's still got places to go, knowing him, serving him, following him. The Christian walk is an adventure. If you realize it and are willing to cooperate with it and allow the Holy Spirit to empower you as it will. But let's not get too far ahead here. I have no idea how to get back to my notes. Let's open our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I was going to go through a bunch of verses that talk about the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. You know, I mean, you have all these great, statements, like in Proverbs, and you got the thing is like this, you know, the fool does this, but the righteous, yeah, you know. This is an unusual power. I mean, it seems kind of simple, but oh my goodness. All right, Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to turn to it as well. Oh, the title of my sermon is Walking in the Light, the Proper Care of the Inner Man. Okay, that reminds me of my point. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, our mind, will, and our emotions, our personality, we have a soul, and we live in a body. That's really what Scripture would kind of declare, the totality of it would declare about us. It also declares that there is an inner man and an outer man. There's one verse that talks about while the outer man is kind of decaying and falling away, the inner man is renewed day by day. Paul prays at one point for the Ephesian church, which is part of my sermon as well. He says that I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light. And he says that there would be power strengthening you in your inner man so that you would know and have revelation of certain things. There's an inner man, which I believe is a combination of the soul and the spirit, which are very united. In Hebrews, it talks about the word of God being like a two-edged sword, so sharp that it's able to divide asunder things that are so intricately connected, like the soul and the spirit. They're connected. And so what happens as a believer is you begin to learn and you begin to grow, and all of a sudden the things that you're learning in your mind, will, and emotions are actually beginning to overtake your thinking. So when Paul talks in Romans 12, he says that you'd be changed by a renewing of your mind and be able to test and prove what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. It's the light. It says in John's gospel, it says in him was life, and that life was the light to all men. And it's talking about this right relationship with God. By the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have right relationship with God because of the cross and the blood of Jesus, which covers us and cleanses us and draws us to him. Suddenly we have this right relationship, and suddenly we have the opportunity to walk in the light, to be led by the Spirit. It's all this wonderful adventure. So walking in the Spirit is what I want to talk about, because that's the thing that is the proper care and feeding of our inner man. I was telling some people as I was showing them the building today, just about all the different dreams that we had, the whole body of believers here at Wellspring, we were having dreams about a big room. I'd say it was at least 10 or 11, maybe more. Things about the color of the walls, things about different things that were in the building, how the windows were, where the water was. We hadn't even seen the building yet. We didn't even know this building existed yet. Do you realize that in May, it will be 3 years? Look at the sanctuary. Look at the sound system. 3 years. We've done an amazing thing as we've been following him, walking by his Spirit, as his Spirit has fleshed out what we ought to do. Look at the carpet. It looks awesome. Carpet is awesome. In the hallway. Yeah. All right, here we go. We're in Galatians. The Holy Spirit will actually help me read too. Here we go. Galatians 6. I don't want the Holy Spirit to get mad at me. All right. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked," or God will not be mocked. "For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, he will from the flesh reap corruption. But to the one who sows to the Spirit, he will from the Spirit reap eternal life." It's such an interesting thing when I think about it, especially as I look back over the 30 years. You know, here I was a new believer. I didn't know. I remember going to church and having them say the address of a verse that we were supposed to look for. And I had a tiny, somebody, right when I went forward, they gave me a little new steps, or first steps for new believers, a little booklet. And then they gave me a full-on Old and New Testament paperback in the NIV that couldn't have been more than like this big. It was written in like 0.5 font. Me with my young eyes had no problem with it at all. And I can hardly see the cover of that thing nowadays. The thing is that I had it though, and so I'd go to church and I had this thing in my glove box. I was reading my First Steps handbook. I had promised them I would do one a day. It was a 30 days kind of walking a new faith out, and it had all the verses written in it. So I wasn't reading my Bible, but I was reading this First Steps handbook, this little 1 month devotional. And I tell you, my life was all over the place. If I was going out to party, whether it was mild drugs or drinking, I would go there 5 minutes early and I'd get my little First Steps book and I promise I'd read this. Okay, part A, let's go, you know. I mean, there was all kinds of illicit things, but God was working. He had gotten something in there and it was starting to have its effect. And slowly I was starting to plant seeds in the Spirit that were going to come back and bless me. They're going to come back and have fruit. But I was also sowing a lot to the flesh, you know. But slowly but surely, things started to happen. I remember I'd go to church and they would give the address at church and I would have to check my tiny little Bible's table of contents. And then I'd have to turn over to it. And by the time I got there, it was like off to something else. I sat a couple, well, this was probably 10 years ago now, but I went to visit my brother because he had just committed his life to Christ. And we went to his church. And the exact same thing happened to him. He was a new believer. And they said, turn to this. And he was like, okay, table of contents. Okay. And he would just get there and they just finished that point and said, okay, now turn to this. Okay. And this happened probably 7-8 times. And at that moment, he turned to me at a moment where it was like you could hear a pin drop in that church. It was probably as small as the body of that we have right here. A pin could drop. And he turned at me and he said, not really in a whisper, just quietly, but so everybody, he didn't know it, but everybody could hear it. After missing the verse once again for the 6th or 7th time, he said, that bothers the S-H-I-T out of me. And it came out of his mouth, and he realized that everybody in the whole audience could hear him. And I sat there absolutely giddy. You know what? Walking with the Lord is an adventure. It's an adventure. And as we cooperate with him, I don't care if he said the S-H-I-T word in church. I mean, my brother was being honest. That was his. And as time goes by, God begins to clean us up. As we cooperate with him, he starts to clean us up. He starts to do things in our life that just literally begin to shift and change. The things I thought 30 years ago when I walked forward, the way that I perceived the world, the things I thought about myself, the things I thought about whether marriage was an institution I could, the things I thought about 1,001 different things have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit teaching and leading and showing me into all truth. As I walk in the Spirit and as I walk with him, he sharpens certain things and he smooths different things, and I find myself. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's good news. God sees you where you are, and as you walk with him, he shows you where to go. In the Old Testament, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Holy Spirit working with his word. It teaches us. It trains us. It makes us into a different person. It changes things in us. It says to you, you know, you're going to have to get over that lying thing that you've been doing. You got to get over that racism or that materialism or that whatever it is. You got to get past that. You got to surrender that to me. I used to tell people it was as though every time I came to church, it's like God had an altar call at the end. And even though I was a believer, I would go forward because God was like, okay, give it to me. Give it to me. I'd be like, I don't want to give it to you. I don't care what it was. My sexuality, my money, my mouth, my lying and cursing tongue. Give it to me. Okay. Oh. Give it to me. Okay. And it was like he had this hand out here and he stood there. And as I finally surrendered it to him, he said, okay, I got this to bless you with. Yeah. I want to bless you. I'm telling you, when you don't lie anymore, that's a blessing. It may take some time to figure out where all you've been covering your tracks as it kind of sorts itself out. But when you decide that you're going to live by the truth, Paul says to the Ephesian church, having the belt of truth around you, and if you're not living by the truth, man, you've got a day of reckoning coming. If you're going to walk by the Spirit, you got to walk in truth. His word is truth. All right. So the whole notion of my sermon this morning has to do with walking in the Spirit. Now, Galatians says we can sow to the Spirit and from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, the word life in the New Testament uses two different words for life. We've talked about this before. There's a word bios, which just means biological life. It's just talking about your physical existence, how you're living in this physical realm. There's another word entirely. When it says that in him was light and that, or in him was life and that life was the light to all men, it uses a different Greek word. It's the word zoe. And it means abundant, satisfying, wonderful, glorious, rewarding life. So when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest, he's talking about giving you that life. When he says that you can Oh, the eternal life, the John 3:16. Whosoever believeth on him will have eternal life. It's talking about that Zoe life, the life in union with God that has this wonderful, abundant satisfaction to it. Throughout the New Testament, oftentimes when I'm reading my New Testament, I'm checking in my Greek textbook because I want to see when it says life. Okay, I want to see right there. Is that Zoe or is that bios? Is it biological life or is it this life of God? So then in Galatians, we were in Galatians 6. We want to see how we can reap eternal life by sowing to the Spirit. We have to know that there are works of the flesh and what those works are. And we have to know that there are fruits of the Spirit and we have to know what those are. Those are in Galatians 5. So just turn back probably one page or so. The works of the flesh are listed in Galatians 5. 19 to 21. Let's just start at 17. Well, let's start at 16. That's even better. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then, right after that, it says, but the fruit. Now, that's a wonderful place to put, like, but. It just tells us about all these things that inevitably, if you're walking in this world, if you don't have a relationship with God, it says big sins, but it says little sins by our estimation. And God's like, listen, it's all sin, and it'll all separate you. And the wages of that sin is death. But God's got a gift for you. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It says, now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Listen, this spiritual thing that we're talking about, this walking in the light, it doesn't have to be something that happens on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights when you have prayer meeting or some other church thing or a Bible study. There is literally a place in God that he says, listen, I've poured my Spirit out on you, and I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready in the workplace. I want you to be ready when you're at your house. I want you to be ready to pray. I want you to be ready to share with your neighbor. When that light comes on and all of a sudden God says, I got something for you, will you be obedient to this? I'm telling you that there is a place to live your life where it's not just a little something on Sunday morning, but it's something that extends every day. In your workplace, in your school, in your family, in your neighborhood, that everywhere that you go, that's why Scripture says, don't put your light under a bushel basket. This little light of mine. You know what I mean? Don't put it under something that covers it up. Take that thing off and set it up on a pedestal so everybody can see it. You may feel foolish, but I'm telling you, the foolishness that you feel is your flesh saying, no, I want to be in control. I don't want you to stand up and say to your neighbors, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. He's the most important thing to me. Your flesh doesn't want to do that. Your flesh wants to say, your neighbors have respect for you, and they will think that you are a crazy Christian. You know what? I'll bear the title crazy Christian every day of my life. Jesus bore my sin. I would rather be a crazy Christian than someone who hides it under a bushel basket, knowing all that he did for me. And it's just my flesh. This whole thing about the flesh and the Spirit, the flesh wants to dictate. Your your body and the things that come to you through the five physical senses and all the appetites that come through all of the senses try to dictate what the world looks like, who you are, what kind of reputation you have, what kind of things you desire, your sexual appetites, your physical appetites, your desire for food, your desire to want to be first in line, your desire to want to be recognized at work, your desire to want to be seen as appropriate or intelligent by people around you. All of these things come at us through our flesh. Paul says, listen, I came from the best schools. I have the best pedigree out of anybody in Judaism. If you wanted someone who could boast, he said, I could boast. And you know what? I consider that like a dung heap. That doesn't set me apart, but the knowledge of Jesus and what Jesus is doing, that's what I want. I'll set it all aside. And walking with the Spirit is going to take you making your flesh get used to the notion that it's not in control anymore. But I'm tired. You ever get that from your flesh? You wake up, you're like, I'm going to... Joey's up there saying, no. You ever wake up in the morning saying, you know what? I'm going to spend time with the Lord... I'm going to do it this morning. I'm going to start this morning. I'm spending time with the Lord. Every day I'm going to wake up a little bit early that first day. Oh, it feels so good to lay here. I've never felt this, how satisfying it is just this today. You know what? Maybe I'll start tomorrow. It's too satisfying. It's too wonderful. Your flesh is just telling you, listen, man, let me be in control. I can get you a better job. You can save some money if you listen to me and not your spirit. Because your spirit's going to tell you to give. Your spirit's going to tell you to share with your friends. And then you're going to look silly. Your flesh is telling you all these different things. How do you feel? Do you need this? Do you need that? You know what you need? You need more of Jesus. And your flesh is never going to tell you that. So we walk by the Spirit. To walk by the Spirit is to put down the flesh. Is to say, you know what? You don't dictate any longer. Not that the flesh isn't important. There are times where we're hungry. Our body needs food. I get that. But we can't let him dictate. David said to himself, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. He was recognizing that his countenance was down and that things were down. And he was saying, listen, I'm going to, with my spirit, lift the other members of who I am. And we're going to serve the Lord until we start feeling better. You ever come to church and you're like, I'm not feeling it today. I'm not feeling it today. I don't want to lift my hands. I don't want to stand. I don't want to dance. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to kneel. I don't want to do it today. When I was a worship leader, I used to lead worship often. And people said, you ever just not feel it? I said, yeah. Well, how do you do it without being not genuine? I said, I do it until I'm genuine. You know what I mean? You ever feel like that? And all of a sudden you start following the Lord just like Joey was talking about. You start following the Lord and all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. I feel a little bounce in my step. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The God of the whole earth. All of a sudden something starts happening and you realize that you came in feeling down and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to minister to you and the Word of God begins to rise up in you and the Holy Spirit begins to confirm that Word and begins to show you into all truth and you all of a sudden start saying, you know what? I came in feeling challenged and this challenge is nothing for my God. Yeah, see, Moses, he went up to the mountain and his face glowed. And then he had to put something over his face because he said, not only are they going to focus on it, but it's going to eventually fade. And then people are going to be like, what happened, Moses? So now I feel like, hey, this is great. And sorry, but yeah. Paul prays for the Ephesian church in Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 16 to 23. And he speaks right to this thing. I kind of alluded to it before. Starting in verse 15, it says, for this reason I too, having heard of the faith in Jesus and the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Oh, he had heard about this church, and so he began to pray because he was hearing good things about them. But he prays a prayer now, and because the Holy Spirit has it both inspired him to write it and inspired its inclusion into the New Testament, we have to believe that this isn't just a moment in history that we can read about, that it's about just the Ephesians and it only takes place for the Ephesians. I believe that this is Paul's prayer, but it's a prayer from the Holy Spirit through Paul for all of believers everywhere. And he says this, starting in verse 17. Well, he says, I don't cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. He says, then this is his prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened, flooded with light, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That inheritance in the saints, it actually means his inheritance, which the saints are. You are God's inheritance. There's something wonderful right there. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul is praying that you would have the light of God come in and begin to rule and reign. Now, there have been times in my life where you're just kind of walking and you're just kind of doing. Now, these are testimonies of me. But I mean, I didn't really realize that God was able to impact me in such a way. Okay? So you're just walking, walking, and all of a sudden something happens, and all of a sudden you get this unction, this motivation inside of you, and it's as though, I believe it's like God is tapping you on the shoulder, or just like this, like all of a sudden, hey, I want you to share your faith with that person right there. And I sit in the valley of decision. Well, or I want you to give in the church service, I want you to give the biggest bill in your pocket, and I've got a 20 and two singles. I had that money earmarked for my flesh, you know, I'm gonna go do something, or I want you to spend an hour just praying in the Spirit, you know, praying in the Spirit. Now, not everybody gets the same. You know, we believe that the Spirit begins to bubble up in you. We name our church after Wellspring at the Cross. And there was two verses I was going to start with, but they were both about how Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, anybody who does that, the Spirit will be in him like a bubbling up, a welling up of eternal life. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well in John 4, he says, would you give me a drink? And she says, you know, you're not supposed to talk to women. And he says, if you knew who you were talking to and the gift of God, you'd ask me for a drink. He says, I'd give you water that you'd never thirst from again, and it'll well up in you to eternal life. This is a woman, a woman of bad reputation. This is a woman who's been married and married again and married again, and she's just, frankly, done being married. She'll just live with the man. She's talking to the God who created the universe. And so all of a sudden I'm walking and I'm doing something, and all of a sudden it's as though the Holy Spirit's tapping me on the shoulder. I want you to pray in the Spirit. Now, Paul says in Corinthians that sometimes I pray in the Spirit. My mind doesn't even know what I'm saying. But we can pray in the Spirit. Now, for me, there's this notion of it being tongues. Tongues is easy if you're praying in the Spirit. Not everybody has the gift of tongues. There's a lot of gifts. Some are word of wisdom or knowledge. Some are prophecy. Some are, I mean, you can go through the list. But we're supposed to be in the Spirit. We're supposed to be developing our giftings in the Spirit. If you want to think about it, but the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelations, and he starts off with, listen, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw things. And I saw heaven open up. And I saw, you know, I mean, you start thinking about all that God can do as we walk in the Spirit, as we surrender to walking in the Spirit, that the light of God, as we sow those seeds into the Spirit and from the Spirit reap eternal life, suddenly there's things that are in us. And as we're walking, the Spirit all of a sudden shines on us and says, I want you to do this thing. You may not realize it. You may feel like it's just going to be silly. You may never even know what your obedience will accomplish. But obedience is the only thing you can say to a Lord, if he's your Lord. It's an oxymoron to say no, Lord. Now, I know that there are critics out there. I have a friend of mine, an unbelieving friend. You probably have an unbelieving friend or two yourself. And my friend will start talking to me, and if church comes up, he'll say, wait a second. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You give a tithe? And I'll say, that's my intention. That's what I do. I mean, I'm not always perfect at it, but that's the goal. I mean, it says in Scripture, let each man set aside in his heart what he ought to give. And when I pray, I hear I'm supposed to give a tithe. So I bring the tithe up, and I put it in a box, this little box right here. And he's like, so if you made $40,000 in a year, you're telling me you gave $4,000 of that to church? And I know where this is going. And my flesh is all of a sudden rising up, like, quit talking about this with this guy. And I say, no, you know what? I'm thrilled that when I give, Scripture actually says God can make his grace abound to you. That you can have all things at all times, at all seasons, you can abound to every good work. Because somehow or another, your giving has wrestled with your flesh enough that you're surrendering to God, and God is working through it by providing for you in a way that now your giving is beginning to work through you, through to the church, to all kinds of good works. I want to be in that place. I want to be that person that all of a sudden when the Spirit of God says, Dan, I got something for you. What is it, Lord? What is it, God? And I don't want to be limited by my own understanding of things. He says, there's a person who's sick. I want you to go pray for him. I don't want to say, listen, they should go to the doctors would probably know, but you know, I can't prescribe any. Well, I can prescribe a verse. Scripture says he was bruised for our diseases and crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, I can't say that it's going to happen. God is the one that causes the growth. We sow to the Spirit. He's the God of the harvest, even in these things where it comes back on us. I want you to pray for you. Ever wake up in the middle of the night saying, I want you to pray for your friend. Someone you know is struggling. There have been times when people said they were praying for us, and at the very moment, it was like, oh my goodness, you were hearing from the Spirit, my friend, because we needed it. There have been times where Christina, years ago, we used to give... There was a testimony of me. I went back to school after I was married. I'm a believer. I'm working at a church in a part-time capacity. And I decide, I feel like the Lord is calling me back to school. So I go back to school to Ripon, where it all began, where I was drinking too much and sleeping around. And now I'm going there to serve him. And I would go to my classes, and the professors were so ungodly. Not that they were like actively like doing things, but they were just godless. Let's put it that way. They just didn't honor God. They had no place for the Word of God. And they were trying to argue me to a place where I would just kind of cave in and say, fine, okay, let's just say that God doesn't exist for the purposes of our, you know. And I wouldn't do it. I would go to the 45-minute drive from my house to the campus there, and I would say, Lord, I didn't go to college following you to give you up in the process. And if I'm at school and my search is for truth, and you're the way, the truth, and the life, then I'm always going to find you when I'm searching for truth. I can do that. Well, maybe not. Because I felt like God was in that car praying through me. And I finished college with my last grades were straight A's. And I was triumphing through college that had been such a thorn in my side earlier. But Christine and I, we were suffering because the cost of college and what I was being paid. And there was a time where we just had nothing. We had nothing, and there were bills, and there were different things. And someone, I still don't know who, put some cash in an envelope in our mailbox. And it was like exactly what we needed. And not only was it what we needed, but it was encouraging to us because we weren't telling everybody. We weren't making it known. Someone was responding to the Spirit and saying, you know what, the Kundis need help. Here's some help. It says when we walk in the light like this, he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's from 1 John. That God, somehow or another, as we walk in the light together, He begins to bring fellowship. He begins to knit us together. We become a body. We start to work as a body. One person gets a notion. The scripture verse came to me for you, Dan. The scripture came to me for you, Glenn. The scripture verse came to me for you, Tim. Zeb, I woke up last night and I was praying. I hope, if you're not going through anything, okay, but maybe it's because I was praying. You know what I mean? That's the walk of the believer, walking in the light by His Spirit. God wakes you up and says, hey, how about you spend some time praying for so-and-so? So the rest of my message is just going to be the topic of, okay, what things can we do to sow to the Spirit? And I'm sure that there's a lot more. These are just ones that I kind of were coming up with. But the first one and the foremost one, I think, is spending time regularly in the Word of God. I've met a lot of Christians who say, you know what, I don't really read my Bible much. I just, you know, it's just not something that inspires me. It's not, you know, I was talking with John Griswold a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, you know, I was reading my Bible, and like that very day, I'm out in the world, and all of a sudden, it's like the Bible just showed up, what I was reading, and there it was happening right in front of me. I tell you, if you read through Proverbs, you're going to see Proverbs every day come to pass right in front of your eyes. If when you read through the New Testament, when you start to really dig into it, when you start to say, okay, what exactly does this word mean? You get out your concordance and you start getting an understanding of these words. God begins to lead you and guide you. All of a sudden you realize that the Holy Spirit is lifting your understanding of things and changing you. The Bible, a lamp unto our feet. I believe that it's also important for us to memorize Scripture. Now, in my life, I don't memorize Scripture in a traditional way, but over the years, I've spent a lot of time memorizing Scripture, particularly because I'm just coming to church and worshiping. You know? And all of a sudden, a verse, we were talking about, I was quoting a verse before that was a song. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountains of His holiness, beautiful for situations, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Amen. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Ba, ba, ba. The bahs aren't in there. Not the inspired part. But I mean, think about it. Psalm 91, He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There are things that just being in the body of Christ, that is, that things are going to start to infect us with goodness, with grace. And I'm telling you, when you're in that place where someone's telling you their story and all of a sudden a Bible verse, bam, and all of a sudden you can share the Holy Spirit with somebody, the gift of God, the word for them. This is the joy. This is the adventure we walk. This is the opportunity that we have. Memorizing Scripture. I think about blocks of Scripture. In my life, I'm starting to see the value of knowing. I mean, Ephesians, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Isaiah 53. Psalm 91, I mean, blocks are, I mean, in Philippians it says, Jesus, that we should make our attitude the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something, and it goes on and on and on. But it's like this beautiful thing that as you commit it to memory, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit has this wonderful way of bringing that thing to remembrance as what, that's exactly what Scripture says the Holy Spirit will do, and reveal the character and nature of Jesus. And the more I know about this book, the more I get it between my ears, the more it begins to renew me, the more it begins to lead me, the more value it has in me. The more effect it has on my relationship with my wife and my kids and with you, my fellow church members. It's an encouragement. It's a joy. The word of the Lord. Fasting and praying. Another way to sow seeds in the Spirit that'll come back. There have been times where I fast, and the longer I go, the more I feel just absolutely dependent upon God. I remember once it was a week-long fast, and at the end of that week, I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can sit upright without the power of the Holy Spirit giving me the strength, because I was at my end. And all of a sudden, the fast was over, and we were breaking fast. It was an evening meal, but it was breakfast, you know. And they set it in front of me, and it was like, oh, I want this food. And I thought to myself, but Lord, you've been so faithful. You've been right here with me. It's like if I eat this food, I feel like I'm going to say, well, you know, so long. Not that he was going away, but that the closeness of him. Like maybe this fast should continue. That's the dependence that we have on God. Fasting and praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Paul says, after he talks about the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, he says, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. In James, the closing verses of the book of James, it says, if any of you are sick, let him this and this and this. And it says, and pray and sing songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. There are times where I'm feeling rotten and I'll go for a drive and I'll just start to sing. I don't feel very good about it at first, but as I sing, all of a sudden it's like I start feeling a little bit. Suddenly I start feeling it rise up in me. And by the end of it, I'm just singing in my spiritual language. I'm just singing, you know, just singing. And God is lifting me out of the condition of my flesh and setting me rightly in the condition of my spirit, which is joyful in him. Fellowshipping with other believers. As iron sharpens iron, it's in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That as we live together in fellowship, there's a way that one person and what God is doing in their life starts to sharpen us. Suddenly there are verses. The reason I know the address of that verse is because I have a close friend, my friend Sean. In my early days, Sean and I were in this iron sharpening iron relationship. We're only 10 days apart. I was born on June 27th and he was born on June 17th. And we realized 27:17 goes right to that verse in Proverbs. 10 days apart, iron sharpening iron. We felt like it was planned from all eternity that we would be friends and we would be the embodiment of that verse. We would get together, we'd go out to Perkins. Back when Perkins was, there was like a Perkins on every corner or something. It would be open all night. We'd get out our Bibles and we'd just start reading. He came from a different church than I did, and we would talk about the differences of our faith and his Calvinist background and my background that proved that wasn't right. And no, I'm joking. No, but we realized that as we're digging, as we're talking together, and it's always in love, and we had this profound relationship, this brotherly relationship. It was never any love lost, even if we disagreed. My wife, when I got married, she was like, how can you guys argue like that? Aren't you mad at each other? I'm like, no, this is what we do. This is how, and the Bible is coming alive to me, that I would be reading, and all of a sudden, some point that I had been arguing with my friend about, all of a sudden, oh, I got to tell that one to Sean right there. Look, let's see, and I'd circle it, or I'd write it down, I'd bring it to him, and as iron sharpens iron, it was sharpening things in me that were not right, and sharpening things in him, and the word of God was being given a higher place in us, and it was starting to, and I tell you, at that Perkins, we used to call it the mission field, because waitress after waitress after waitress was coming in to know Jesus, or had known Jesus, and was deciding, you know what, if you guys can do this, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to give Jesus my life again. I'm going to walk with him. Witnessing. Scripture says that if you confess me, Jesus said, if you confess Jesus before men, he will confess you in heaven before his Father. Listen, I don't want to go to heaven and say, wait, who are you again? I know that that's not the truth. God knows it all. But I want him to know me because he's been talking about me. Because I've been talking about him. I mean, there's just something beautiful about that. If you thought that some important person in politics or some Hollywood icon had known you enough to talk about you, you would be kind of like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, so-and-so is talking about me. Do you know Jesus talks about you? Jesus knows your name. And he talks about you with his Father. Particularly when we talk about him. There's no greater joy, nothing that will light your spiritual life on fire than witnessing to somebody at that moment where the light's going on for them. I was telling somebody the other night, I went to Life Fest a few years ago, and I saw my friend Bruce. Bruce had been years earlier on a missions trip when I was a youth pastor. We took a bunch of 45 people down to Mexico with YWAM. And we worked and we did all this stuff. We helped build a little church in the mountains. We went door to door and we witnessed and we shared our faith and we prayed for people. We invited them to the church service and they came. But at the end of the thing, we were driving home and there is so much contention and fighting. And I mean, it's just like kids are going to start beating on each other or something. And I said, we stopped the bus and I said, you know what? You guys have been missionaries for the last week. And I'm wondering if you guys were missionaries of something you knew or something you just felt compelled because this is a church trip. I said, now, if you don't know Jesus, you better get right with the Lord. And right there on the side of the road, we had an altar call, and nearly every kid came forward. So here I am years later, and I'm at Life Fest, and Bruce comes up, and he brings his daughter up next to me, and she says, this is the guy I was telling you about. And I was like, oh, the guy who led the trip? He said, no, you're the guy who led me to Christ. He says, I was on that trip, and I didn't know Jesus, and I went forward and prayed, and I met the Lord, and it's been different ever since. Do you know what that does to a person? Do you know what it's like to be at that moment in that crossroads for someone? That will set your spiritual life on fire. It will make all of the foolish things that you had to be known by all worth it. You're the Bible-toting Jesus freak? Yes, I'm the Bible-toting Jesus freak. Now, do you need Jesus? Witnessing, we sow seeds into the Spirit. Confession of sin. When we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When God says there's something in you, I want it, what can we do but give it? I mean, after a while, when God would do that thing, he'd take it from me and he'd give. After a while, I'm like, okay, here it is, here it is, here, you want something else? Because I like this thing. But isn't that just what we're talking about? Sowing to the Spirit and from the Spirit reaping eternal life. Giving and tithing. We talked about that already. Obeying the word of God. When God all of a sudden just puts something in you, you got to walk like this, or there's something. And then there's the idea of unction. And I'll close with this. If we're going to live an adventure with the Lord, we're going to have to pay attention to when all of a sudden we feel the Holy Spirit tap us on that shoulder. When all of a sudden we stand under the light of his presence and he says, I want you to do this thing. I want you to do that thing. I want you to go on this missions trip. I want you to take part in this study group. I want you to share my love with your family member or your friend. I want you to pray for so-and-so and pray and pray and pray until you're prayed through. I want you to be a person who is exemplifying the Christian life, the Christian walk. I want you to put your light on a pedestal for the world to see. All we can do is obey. This is the gospel. This is redemption. This is the saints rising up and being trained and outfitted to do the work of ministry. You know what? If we have a church that has a couple of leaders and the leaders do all the work, we're not going to have any impact compared to if the saints all of a sudden start realizing that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They have the same opportunity. They have the same possibility, and as they obey, they can see heaven move. They can see impossible things fall by the wayside, and they can see the power and the plan of God come to manifest on this earth. Right where you sit, you are a person with unbelievable possibilities, and those possibilities are realized scripturally by sowing to the Spirit and from the Spirit reaping eternal life. We're going to have a word of prayer here. Matt, I don't know if you have a chance to just... I want to give opportunity for people. There's a number of different ways that we can close this. But I want to give an opportunity for you. If you have a prayer need, if you have a need that anything that I've said today says, you know what, Lord, I could really cooperate with your plan, with your purpose. I could really... Or there are times where I have a word and I feel it's from you, but I don't give voice to it because I feel too timid or I feel like I'd look stupid. You know what? This is a safe place. And there are people... people to pray with you. If there's something that you're wrestling with, or if there's something that's just kind of halted your development, some unforgiveness, I don't know what it could be. Only the Lord knows. But I know something for sure, that Jesus is the answer to the biggest need in your heart. And if you'll surrender that to Him, He will both take it from you and He will redeem it, and He'll also bless you for having been obedient to Him. It's not a works thing, but it's planting those seeds in the Spirit, and from the Spirit reaping eternal.